I'm so angry at Sierra. I hate it so much.
Okay.
All of my keyboard customization things, they work like very poorly, if at all, and it makes me mad.
Oh. I always forget you have so many. You got what was it? The Carabiner guys did the other thing or something?
Yeah, they got Carabiner Elements, which is the Sierra version, and then there's this thing called Hammerspoon, which is a Sierra thing, which is also stupid, but I don't know what they did that caused all of the keyboard things to break from El Capitan, but it is markedly worse in this. Like there's a delay. There's like visible delay when like I'm holding my hotkeys to do things. So if I'm typing a word that has like a D in it, like sometimes the D just won't shut up or show up, or like there will be two of them, or it'll just show up in the wrong place. It's just bad things happen. Like this was it was totally great on El Capitan, and now it's just the worst. I contemplated turning it off, and that makes me so sad because I like my VI keys.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you'll get an outpouring of support about this topic.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. I care.
Well, other than your keyboard shortcuts, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm tired.
Okay. You seem kind of grumpy.
Oh no, I'm grumpy about technology, but I'm regular me in general. I mean.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. So that's good. That's fine. I'm glad that we, don't have a movie to talk about today, because I don't know when either of us would have watched one, but I'm glad that we get to talk to one another, and it's not one of those crazy weeks like when I was in Europe and we didn't get to speak. That was so sad. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Yeah. There's that.
Yeah. Yeah. Busy week in your neck of the oaks.
Yes, although I don't know how many oaks there are.
There's at least 1,000, right?
Well, no.
Oh, wait, you're in the Sherman.
No, well, technically I'm in Van Nuys. They just say that I'm in Sherman Oaks, but
they don't like to triangulate, right?
Yeah, no.
You don't want people just randomly showing up on the front doorstep of your Emmy award-winning visual effects studio. You guys win awards, right? Or you just nominated?
I think we just got that one Emmy that one time. I don't know about
so
the other things.
Then you are officially Emmy award-winning.
Yeah. I have a certificate. So.
Yeah. You hang it on the wall like my stupid nuke thing, so you can take photos when you're having Twitter arguments and be like, hello, I have an Emmy.
I could if I wanted to, but no, I haven't. I just have the certificate. Yeah, that's it, though. I'm not anticipating a lot of certificates coming in anytime soon. I'm sorry about your technology struggles. Are you still going to buy things and upgrade things, or are you just put off of that now because keyboards don't work?
A mere, 30 minutes ago, I upgraded my telephone to iPhone Operating System 11. Have you heard about this? It's a new thing.
Yeah, it's the one that goes to 11.
It's very different and interesting, and there's lots of animations and things flying around, and Control Center is different and stuff.
Yeah, I upgraded my iPad Pro, but I'm not in a rush to update my iPhone just yet. Maybe they'll get in a point release before next week or something. Because I find that unless you are using a device that is top of the line when a version of iOS rolls out, there are some bugs and stuff for the year after, and then some more bugs and stuff for the year after that one, and then some more bugs and stuff for the year after that one. So sometimes if you have a 3 or 4 year old phone and you're upgrading iOS, it can be a little pokey, and actually worse than the experience that you had prior to upgrading, because it doesn't seem like they get thoroughly tested with the older hardware for whatever reason.
Yeah, but only a monster of a human being would have a 3 year old phone.
I know. Hello. me.
You gotta skip. You gotta buy one and then skip 2 years and then buy one so you can save up enough money to buy an Apple TV because it's three times the cost. So you gotta wait three times as long, right?
Wait, I don't know how you did that math. What?
it's a hilarious joke about how it's expensive.
Oh. Wait, would you say that because 4K would be 4,000?
Sure. No.
Oh, I'm totally.
I said
lost
it was three times as expensive because it's three times more expensive than competitors' products.
Oh. Okay. I thought you were comparing the Apple TV and an iPhone, and I was like, "How do
yeah,
you?"
Yeah, no, I was because I wasn't really like trying to make any sort of sense. I was just saying things about the TV to get you riled up.
Oh. Yeah, I already talked to Micah about that and got that most of that out of my system.
Yeah, by the way, how did you not pick the Cocker Spaniel? Because then you could have been Joe Cocker.
I think you just explained why not right there pretty succinctly. So,
But Joe Cocker's good.
No, thank you. For those who are not certain what I'm speaking about, there was an episode of Unhelpful Suggestions, a podcast that I do with Michael Sargent, who was a guest on this program not too long ago, and that is unhelpful-suggestions.com/35 for the episode that we talked about that. And the reason why there's a hyphen and it's not one of those ones that doesn't have a hyphen is because somebody else had the other thing. So, there. The thing is, we talked about the whole keynote, and I got to yell about the remote being what it is still, and also how most people don't actually understand or care about any of these things, and so there are probably going to be a lot of people who have an HDTV that are going to buy the Apple 4K, and God bless them. And then there's going to be a lot of other people who are just like, oh, well, you know what? I need to buy this because I'm gonna be able to watch all of my content in UHD 4K because that's what Eddie Q said, and it's not what he said. Yeah, there are some misunderstandings I've seen circulating about where people are like, where's my stuff? Why isn't this in 4K? I've got a 4K Blu-ray. Why isn't it in the iTunes store? And it's like, because it isn't in the iTunes store. I don't know what to tell you. Because the studios have to make it available.
Can't wait for the 4K HDR version of Metropolis to hit the store.
There's also diminishing returns with older catalog items, as Dan just made a joke about, especially when you're dealing with, let's say, effects. Like, apparently there has been, I was reading some article, Stu Meshwitz had retweeted from some cinematographer thing, and it was, somebody had talked to the guys at Sony, and they had done like a little demo showing off some older movies that they're converting, and one of them was Ghostbusters they converted to HDR. And people were like,
wait, why?
Yeah,
why?
I know, exactly. People were like, oh, you know, the effects seem like they're of their time still. And I feel like that's a really generous way of describing it.
Are they going to fix the see-through matte paintings or the shaky optical compositing that doesn't, like, line up or track?
No, they're not doing any of that, but it'll be in HDR.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so...
You'll be able to see all of the subtle cracks and gradations on the Marshmallow Man's skin.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and also the grain will be enormous, but very precise. A lot of people don't understand the technical things that go into these sorts of things. So somebody might be really excited about that. And I don't far be it for me to rain on their parade, but you don't need to see a transparent matte painting over the sky when it's adjusted for brightness because it's just. I don't know, not going to be super great. Like, who's going to care? But it's there, and it'll exist, and there'll be more things joining it. It's primarily a good thing for newer movies that are going to be coming out, because they'll be mastered in it from the get-go. So then you won't have any sort of things with weird stuff, with old things. So
It's kind of like like Tesla comes out with an electric car, and everyone's like, oh, great, this is backwards compatible, right? Like, why does my car not suddenly get 100 miles to the gallon or something? It's
yeah.
Like, no, that it doesn't go backwards. Like, anyway, I thought you had a very thoughtful and thorough discussion on helpful suggestions, and it was good, and people should listen to it.
Yeah, also, the nickname thing, like Dan was saying with the Cocker Spaniel stuff. Micah nicknamed himself after a dog that doesn't exist. There mm-hmm. isn't such thing as King Charles Cocker Spaniel. But it makes for a good name. unfortunately, I went with Great Dane because I was on the spot and I had to think of something. And after I said it, all I could think about was Dane Cook. And I was like, he's not really a Great Dane. So now I want to turn the tables on you, Dan. Your dog nickname. What is it?
I was actually thinking about this earlier because now anytime Timber comes on the shuffle, I think of you guys debating what dog it would be. And I thought about it. I genuinely thought about it today. And I was trying to be like accurate, and it was really sad. I'm like, well, I'd probably be some sort of like lazy sloth of a dog, like a bulldog or something, but that's a terrible idea, or like a Shar Pei, because those are pretty lazy too. But then I'm like, I don't want to be a Shar Pei. Although Shar Pei has some pretty good, I don't know, like sharpness to the word, so you could probably rhyme some good stuff with it. Like if it was a rap name. I could do some things with Shar Pei.
Yeah, I just like how you said, every time I listen to Timber and it comes up on Shuffle since I've heard your episode, and it was like, that went up like Friday. How often does Timber come up on Shuffle?
Well, it's, you know, as you are aware, nobody else is. I've been working outside of my home mm-hmm. for a few days, which requires me to commute during rush hour. So I've got between 45 minutes and an hour and 15 each direction every day to deal with. So there's you know, podcasts and music. I mean, there's only so much Marc Maron I can listen to before I have to kick over to listen to some music to like calm myself.
Yeah, stamps.com. But
no, I just like I apologize to Marc Maron and his sponsors, but I fast forward through the first 11 minutes of whatever the hell his show is. And I do the same thing with Hardwick's show, whatever that like echoey recorded on a cell phone in a bathroom thing that they do at the beginning of every episode is. Like, I just fast forward through all that stuff and just listen for the music cue when they start talking to the guest. And honestly, I don't even care if I miss the first 30 seconds of the guest because I just hate listening to whatever that nonsense is up front.
Yeah, but you're going to miss how hard it is traveling for the upcoming tour and the destinations.
And all of his sponsors about underwear and mm-hmm. listening to him try and describe something that Blue Apron has on their menu and make it sound appetizing, but it's Marc Maron, so it doesn't sound appetizing.
Frazzled onion sliced on the diagonal. I don't know.
You slice it on a bias, not a diagonal. It's not a diagonal. It's not a grilled cheese sandwich.
I'm just using words that I've seen in Blue Apron things by other people.
Yeah, not a diagonal.
Okay.
Anyway,
I know that, but those the words that I hear people say it's diagonal. But you know, anyway, some frazzled onions in your MeUndies and all that. Mm. But
you probably shouldn't have onions in your undies.
No. I got really ahead on my podcast queue on the flight back from Europe because I had a lot of time on a plane just sitting there. I fell basically 2.5 weeks behind from vacation because I didn't listen the entire vacation, but I was catching back up on things for that whole flight, and now I'm back behind again because I've just been so busy that I'm listening to like one podcast a day now, which is untenable because then you run out of time for things.
There was a period of time where I felt like I was having deja vu or something because I was having these really long sort of repetitive days, and it took me like 3 days to listen to a podcast. I'm like, what has happened to my life? Like, is this what people who have like real things going on in their life or like have children, like, is this how their life is? It's just like they can't listen to podcasts because they have like actual things to do.
I don't know.
Sad.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like I'm really doing anything. I'm sitting at a desk clicking some buttons. But for some reason, when I'm really busy, I can't even listen to people talking about which iPhone they are going to buy on a podcast. I can't focus. So I'll switch over to either nothing at all, but leave the headphones in so people don't talk to me, or some Daft Punk Tron Legacy soundtrack.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to a lot of Deftones lately.
Oh, I don't like them.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I had a roommate in college who was really into them and mm-hmm. was very excited when What's-His-Face is going to be on the Queen of the Damned soundtrack or whatever.
the what?
Remember the movie Queen of the Damned?
The vampire movie? I'm intellectually aware of it. Like, people saw that movie? Didn't that movie have Aaliyah in it?
Yes, but unfortunately before she died. But
it's better than after she died.
No, but I mean, she died, and then the movie came out.
Yes, yeah, right. But, was that in between the release or something?
Yes. Her, I think, private plane. Something bad had happened. But that was a big deal because he's also one of those people who collects all the Todd McFarlane toy things, the ones that you can't actually. You're not supposed to touch. You're just supposed to, like, leave them sitting on a shelf. And if you look at them the wrong way, they'll fall over because they have, like, no ankles or supports. But he would get all that stuff. And it'd just be about how serious and gritty and dark things could be. He's not a very well-adjusted human being. I don't know why I was his roommate for 3 years. But he was really into Deftones, and I can't hear that anything that he liked to listen to. It has mostly just put me off of listening to any of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. No Korn.
No Korn. No, mm-hmm. No. I wouldn't eat, Korn is terrible. I don't know what we were all doing back then. It was very bad, but I'm not going to try to fully defend the Deftones. That was one of my first, like, albums that I purchased and played. Until the CD, I think, wouldn't play anymore, and then I followed along with them. They were just sort of a personal thing. But that White Pony album that they did, that was a big thing for them. I literally just, like, 2 days ago, some like Pitchfork.com or some crap wrote some sort of, like, reminiscent think piece about how it was a great album and a turning point for music and something or other. And I was like, wow, people are still thinking about and or writing about this album. All right, fine, whatever. I put it on for a while, and it's like, yeah, there's some good stuff here. It's interesting. And then everything after that is bad.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. I mean, they're varying degrees of bad. I mean, they've released the same album like 7 times, basically.
Oh, so like Coldplay.
Coldplay is one of those things that, like, is usually, like, on the radio and it's tolerable. And you just, like, kind of ignore it. But whatever their song is that's on the radio now, like, I actually hear the lyrics now because it's been played so many times, and he's singing about, like, Spider-Man and stuff. Like, what is going on? Why is he singing about Marvel heroes and things?
I have no idea. But there's that other song where, oh God, I can't remember the name of the guy, but he says Wrath of Khan, and it makes me angry every single time I hear it. Because it's Wrath of Khan, not Wrath of God, but he did that so he could rhyme it with something else. But I should give him. I should be happy that he made a Star Trek reference, but I'm unhappy because he said it wrong. And so I have conflicting feelings about it. And so I get very upset whenever I hear that come on the radio. Not that I listen before anybody writes in and they're like, why are you listening to the radio, Grandpa? Sometimes you just get in a car and somebody puts on the radio because they don't believe in iPods or iPhones or recorded media. And you just got to listen to it on a 6-hour car drive there and 6-hour car drive back.
I listen to a lot of radio too because, you know, it's stress-free. You don't have to worry about, like, oh God, what's the next song? Are the person going to like it? Do I have to make sure that something palatable comes on? You ignore it. It's something they'll occasionally play that's good and you'll enjoy it and you'll sing along or bop your head or whatever. Although, I have to admit that the radio has been kind of aggravating since Taylor Swift released those songs, which are very bad songs.
God, it's so bad. I've only heard the "Look What You Made Me Do" one. That one, so awful.
The problem with that song that I have more than anything else is the first 30-40 seconds, the song is all like low bass that you can't hear on most car speakers. If you had like some nice headphones and you put it on, you would get like that sort of like weird vibe she's going for behind her little staccato lyrics, but you can't hear that in like crappy Honda speakers, so it just sounds like she's doing slam poetry or something, and it's very bad.
One of the funnier things when I was in Europe, when we were listening to the horrible European radio stations, is that you couldn't understand any of the Italian DJs, but every now and then they'd say something in English. I guess just because the English phrase had caught on in a certain way or something. So in the middle, right after Taylor Swift's new song had played, in the middle of the whole spiel of things that the lady is saying in Italian, she stopped and said drama queen Taylor Swift and then went back to speaking Italian again. And I was just like, oh, that's great. I love that.
That's actually her full name.
Yes. She had it changed. Mm-hmm. No, I think Taylor Swift has outworn her welcome. So skedaddle.
It's just, you know, it's like a retaliatory look how sassy I am record or whatever, but like,
but she's not good at that.
When has that ever been enjoyable to listen to? Like, people make fun music that people want to listen to. Don't make like angry music. Like, yeah, I'm really mad at Kanye too. Like, I can't get into that. I don't.
Yeah. No, and there's some song, and Nicki Minaj is just like berating somebody, and I'm like, wow, this is very serious. And that I thought for a second, I was like, I don't even know who this is about. Like, who's she angry with? Why
Taylor
do I care?
Because she's in that Katy Perry song, and Katy Perry's angry at Taylor Swift.
No. It's the it was. I found out later. It was some other person. I had talked to Micah about it. I was like, Micah, explain this to me. Because he knew all the dirt. Because he's a young millennial.
That's why he's got that cool nickname that I won't spoil because people gotta go listen to your show.
Which they'll never be able to figure out from King Charles Cocker Spaniel. But I don't know. But that concludes things I will and will not listen to. And even though I'm trying to get through my technology podcasts, I did manage to catch a live stream of Clockwise, and Andrzej Tomić was on as a guest. And so that's always delightful. And he kept talking about the basketball thing that they won in Slovenia, so that's good for them. Good for them for winning basketball things.
They as in him personally?
No,
or
he had
Slovenia
nothing to do with
him.
It. I mean, his presence, I'm sure, imparted magical energy to them winning. But
right,
yeah, he had,
like, look how tall that guy is. We can't let him down.
Yeah, exactly. And he went all the way to Turkey just to see the thing where they played against the people at the thing.
Is that far from Slovenia? I don't actually remember.
I mean, it's not close, but yeah, they went to go see the thing and they beat the thing, and so he's all happy about that, and so he brought it up a bunch of times on there. So that was nice, good for him. I miss Andrzej, and I miss hanging out in that part of Europe. You know, I don't miss bathrooms in Europe at all.
Do you miss bathrooms anywhere?
No, but there's
a weird thing to say.
There's something torturous about so many bathrooms that use hand dryers I don't enjoy that. Also, they are usually in older buildings where they try to squeeze them into weirder and weirder places, usually like downstairs in some weird basement or behind a staircase or something. And I don't find that the layout of those bathrooms is conducive to using them at all. But yeah, one of the ones I went to had one of those like little tiny like toilet bowls that's basically just on the ground. That's it. You would presumably get down real low over that. That was not a good thing. I was surprised that it still existed because almost everywhere else had replaced them. But
I've been to Asia. They got those all over the place. Although to be fair, they kind of did like half and half. Like if they got four stalls, they'll do like one or two in the old style, and then one or two normal, like higher ones.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say normal. I don't want to be
normative
centric. I don't want to be toilet normative or anything.
But
I'm pretty sure those were around first.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have no judgment other than I don't like them. But most of the time you're going to the bathroom.
I do prefer not to squat.
Mm-hmm.
And hold on to my knees so I don't fall over.
I mostly don't want to touch anything in Europe. I just want to wash my hands in the bathroom, and I want to use a paper towel, and I use that paper towel to open the doorknob so I don't have to touch anything, and then go eat my food, you know?
I was going to say, I think you meant to say all you want to touch in Europe is food.
Oh. I mean, I guess that's one way of phrasing it. Yeah.
You don't touch your food?
I would like to touch the food. I would like to eat it, unless it's something that I shouldn't be touching, like ice cream. But yeah,
you can touch your ice cream. You're a grown up. You can eat it however you want.
No, but
you can dance if you want to.
I can.
You can leave your friends behind.
Because if friends don't Sunday, then if they don't Sunday, then they're no friendlies ice cream of mine. So,
God, there was some nice aerobics to land that.
But thank you for your pity compliment. But everything in Europe is just covered in syphilis and Habsburgs, and I don't want to touch anything.
It's covered in history and culture, Joe.
Uh huh. Yeah, history and culture are full of germs.
Yeah, it's not germs and dirt and excrement everywhere. That's history right there.
Uh huh. Historical dirt, historical excrement.
On this spot in 1238, one of the Medici's pooped here. I don't know. Things happened.
Yeah.
Did you say Medici or Medici?
I mean, I say Medici, but I'm 99% sure I'm saying it wrong. So.
Yeah, me too. I don't know. It's probably one of those joke names that there is no right way to say.
Yeah, we'll just wait till one of these programming networks that's trying to make their Game of Thrones knockoff makes one about the Medici's. maybe they can do that.
You know, he had a cool name, Machiavelli. He had a cool name.
Yeah, yeah. What was he, the prince guy? Is that the thing that he wrote?
God, this is the wrong day to ask me questions about history. I was just going to say Galileo had a cool name, too.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he did. And then he dropped the thing.
He did the things off the side of the thing.
Yeah, and then, to prove the gravity stuff.
Prove that thing. The constant of the universe and stuff.
Yeah. Man.
I tell you, I was having a conversation with somebody in the medical field, and they asked me if I was a physicist. I'm like, what words did I use that make you think that I'm smart enough to be a physicist? Because that's wrong. Don't do that.
If it makes you feel any better, I have never made that mistake about you.
Personally, I don't think I... Thank you, by the way. I don't know that I've ever actually met a physicist. And the fake ones on the TV on that terrible show don't count.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not opposed to meeting physicists, but...
No, I wasn't trying to say that they should be separated from society or anything. I'm just saying, I don't think I've ever, run into somebody at a bar and be like, what do you do? And they're like, oh, I'm a physicist.
Oh, no.
It's just never happened.
Yeah, because, I'm in L.A., so that wouldn't happen at all, because almost everyone you run into, it's so what are you working on? What projects are you on? That kind of stuff.
Shows?
Yes, shows.
Working on this show.
Yeah.
I've met chemists. I've met a lot of chemists. Some of them are pharmaceutical-related. Some of them are more technology-related. I don't mean that, sarcastically pharmaceutical. I mean actual pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
I don't mean chemists like meth, but there's those people here too.
Well, I was gonna say you're in Breaking Bad territory.
No, it's the west side. It's 45 hour drive from here. Although there was one of my first editing jobs was in Scottsdale, and it was right where Scottsdale sort of transitioned into the older part of it. Was still technically Scottsdale, and I go down 68th Street to turn left on Camelback or whatever to get to the office, and the whole intersection was closed or whatever, and I was like, hey, what's going on here? He's like, oh, meth lab exploded, and it's all in the intersection now. I'm like, oh, all right, so go down to 66th then? He's like, yeah, go that way. I'm like, okay, cool. Good luck. It was the third story of some apartment building just literally exploded.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, safety is important.
Two blocks from the mall up there too, by the way.
I think I've driven past that mall.
Yep, yeah, you have. Mm-hmm. You've been over there. It's on your way to those various hotels that you probably went to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is, in fact, how I saw it. I was driving past that mall to go to... what's the Frank Lloyd Wright one?
I don't know. Did he do the Phoenician? Or, no, it was... who cares?
It's good podcasting. Good
pod. For once, it's local nonsense, but it's not LA local nonsense.
Yeah. Well,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But so how are you dealing with the commute? You set your alarm, get up nice and bright and early.
Oh, it's fascinating. Yeah, bro, bright and early before the sunrise. Boo, but love it. 5:45, mm-hmm. 6 o'clock is when I'm waking up. Although,
yeah, make your microwavable oatmeal. Go for your jog.
No, God, walk. No, ew. What? No, stop. No, I make. Made coffee. Here's a horrible thing that you'll probably hate. You got a Trader Joe's, right?
I mean, I don't personally own one.
You don't personally own one. You've been to one. There's a local one nearby you where you could shop and purchase things.
It just kind of vaguely insulted that you think just because my name is Joe that I have some sort of grocery store chain. But
it's not the direction I was going. But they have their house spices, whatever, you know, the little things there. They have one called Everything But the Bagel. Have you tried that one?
I've heard about this, but I haven't tried that.
It's all the stuff that goes on an everything bagel, but it's in a shaker.
Yeah, so I get a
whatever these horrible Safeway bagels are that are really like way too soft and not real bagels. Toast one of those up, put a little cream cheese on it, and then shake the stuff on top, and it's delicious. Like I know it is like the most suburban garbage fake bagel in the world, but it is delicious.
But you're not even toasting or heating the spices, the herbs, the seeds that you're putting on it.
I think the garlic in there and whatever else is in there. I think it's pre-toasted.
But it needs some the heat to activate it.
I'm telling you, it doesn't. I'm telling you that if you toast a bagel, put some cream cheese on it, and then use that to stick the stuff to it, and you could load it up good. It is very tasty. On the go, breakfast type product. It's still a sad version of a real breakfast, but it's good.
Okay, I mean,
it's better than like a Pop-Tart is what I'm saying.
Not in a rush for that one, but I mean, there are everything bagel related seasoned items. I'm not sure what the best way to articulate this is, but there are many pastries that you can get in Los Angeles that are inspired by the everything bagel. And
you were going pastries because I shook this on a hard boiled egg one time. It was fine. I just prefer my hard boiled eggs just with salt.
I hate hard boiled eggs. But the Blue Bottle, recently acquired by Nestle, makes and everything.
Cancel all the subscriptions immediately.
No, I didn't even have one. But they make a everything scone where it's a scone, which is kind of like a biscuit, sort of. A southern, vaguely like a southern biscuit in most ways that are important to the story. And then it's covered with the everything stuff on top. And so it kind of tastes like you're having sort of a flaky everything bagel. And then there is Superba and also the Larder where they do everything croissants, where they have a croissant that they form like a chocolate croissant. You know, where it's more of like that sort of like pillow shape rather than the crescent shape.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so on the inside, they have cream cheese. And on the outside, they have the everything seasoning. So you bite into it.
I would eat that.
Yeah, well, they're good. You bite into it and you get the everything seasoning. And then on the inside, you get that little pat of the cream cheese in the middle.
That sounds delicious. See, but this is the thing. You live in a city where there are things like that, and I live in a burnt-out hellscape, and I got my Safeway bagels with my Trader Joe shaking thing on top, and it's good.
Yeah, we'll just go to the Safeway and just be like, hey, guys, what's up? I want to make a proposition for you, business proposition. I'll let you in a little something called Trader Joe's Everything But the Bagel Seasoning, and we're gonna work on this recipe of mine where you guys take those terrible croissants that you make and make them less terrible.
I didn't mean to imply that I purchased things from the Safeway bakery. I'm doing air quotes with my hands. No, these are like Thomas bagels, like or whatever the thing. Not Thomas. What's the package? It's like orange like country crock looking. Design on it or some stupid
crap. I mean,
crap.
I'm assuming that it is Thomas's.
No, it's the other one, I think.
Lenders?
No, not Lenders. It's okay, credit union, isn't it?
It doesn't really matter. The purposes of the story, it's not going to make it
I will pause
better.
This recording right now and walk into the kitchen and go see what those bagels are if you really want to know.
Go, no, Dan.
I'm not going to do that. What am I, an idiot?
I don't know. You seem very upset about it.
No, we have one
text
really
Amanda
good...
and then have her report to you.
Yeah, no, I think she just took the dog for a walk.
Wait, dog?
My dad's dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he is very, very enthusiastic, and he smells horrible. And one time he saw a lizard run into a hole in our backyard, so every time the door opens, he sprints to that hole and sticks his nose in it for about 10 minutes before he does anything else. And he wants to go outside 30 times a day because he thinks he's going to catch that lizard this one time, and he's not because it's not there.
Oh, that's kind of sad. What kind of dog is it?
I was told that it was a Puggle, but more beagle leaning. But the more I look at him, I think he's a Chug.
Oh, yeah, Chug.
He's got some Chihuahua type proportions. Mm-hmm. Like he's got the short legs and the sort of like long, kind of almost wiener doggy style body. Mm-hmm. And his tail is very long, but it's still kind of curly.
Classic Chug.
Yeah,
yeah. I am familiar with the hybrid. I'm not sure if it's actually a hybrid. I don't know what the technical specifications are on that, but yeah,
you just,
yeah,
you just cross pollinate them marijuana or something.
You get one of those little charts like that monk guy made where you just start breeding different seeds together and then you tessellate out that chart. I forget what the name of that was or who the monk was, but thanks high school. That was a thing. But yeah, the Chugs are still nice, you know? Could be worse.
No, he's nice. He's an energetic, fun dog. I'm not sure he's the brightest dog I've ever met, but he's fine. Here, I'm gonna text you this picture of him so you can see what he looks like.
Okay. It's exciting. Can't wait for this text.
Yeah, this is real live. Make sure I send it to the right Joe.
Well, that's important. No, don't send it to Trader Joe. That's somebody else.
Yeah, I don't think they care. They wouldn't like exchange.
They wouldn't put this in the Fearless Flyer.
This is the black and white one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, but they sometimes print part of it in color. I don't know. They like the headline thing. I wish they intentionally
printed on the worst paper possible so you could get all of that ink smeared all over your hands.
I wish there was some way I could just be like, hey, stop sending me this thing. I don't want it. Especially when you get around to November and they're like, here's all of our Thanksgiving tips. And it's like, stop. I'm not making any of these things.
Well, speaking of fall related things, while I was at the Safeway this evening purchasing some ground beef and bananas and an avocado that turned out to be so underripe that we had to throw it away, they have pumpkins and things by the front door now because it's fall. The high is only 99 degrees today, so it's fall. But I purchased two small decorative pumpkins and then a cinnamon pumpkin scented broom. Like, I'm sure you've seen these decorative, stupid, like, I don't know, it's like twigs that are kind of like shaped roughly like a broom that smells like cinnamon. It smells nice and I wanted it because I like it and it smells fall and it's going to maybe convince my brain that it's tolerable to be here right now.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Usually I've seen those things mounted on a wall or something, like hanging.
I think it's intended to go like brush side up, like in a pot, like by the door or something. It's like you know how you buy those like weird little bundles of goofy sticks that you stick in like a vase or something, like a tall vase by a door or something?
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to like intertwine with your vase sticks and add some scent, some fall related scent to the house.
Cross pollinate with your vase sticks.
Exactly. There's going to be the pitter patter of little cinnamon broom feet in a couple months.
Yeah, just like Fantasia.
That completely reframes that movie for me if the broom smelled like cinnamon pumpkin. Because then, I would cut them all in half so there would be more of them, so everything would smell like cinnamon pumpkin, because that would be delightful.
Yeah, when you get down to it, Mickey's the real monster of that story.
He's just trying to help the world. He's just trying to spread, November Thanksgiving joy and, a cinnamon pumpkin broom in every pot or whatever, right? Because he cuts them up, and then there's another one there, and he can distribute them like some weird Johnny Appleseed. He's handing out brooms that smell good.
No, but he's doing that to destroy them, Dan.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You're reframing it if the broom smelled good. And then now I think we need to rewatch it with the new lens of maybe Mickey just wants to share the festive season with people.
Okay.
And I feel like I may have hit my head on something today. Did anything I just said in the last 15 minutes make any sense?
Am I talking
to myself? Is this a dream? Am I literally asleep behind the wheel on my commute home right now?
You might be hallucinating. Pull over to the side of the road.
Mm.
Don't touch the chicken. But yeah, the I'm not sure I'm going to go watch Fantasia again, but I have also noticed that it is fall. For the reasons that you have outlined, there are decorative gourds inside of the various grocery stores, right by the floral sections in the front, and it's like, wow, it's really happened fast. Decorative gourd seasons sneak up on you. And there's the Starbuckses, which have the PSL banners up because it's pumpkin spice latte season.
It's horrible. I enjoyed, back when I first began to drink coffee, I enjoyed the gingerbread one that they had, but I think I've been told that's more of a Christmas time thing and not a fall thing.
This is 100% accurate.
See, but I thought there was some overlap with the pumpkin spice and the gingerbread and the peppermint or whatever.
Oh, they do overlap, but they overlap in November.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What month is it? It's September? September 20th. Look at that. According to my Apple branded smartwatch, it is September 20th.
Wow. Did you do the watchOS 4 thing so it tells you, like, have a good day?
No, not yet. I've been informed that I'm supposed to, in all caps, I'm supposed to do that while I sleep and not during the day because then I wouldn't be able to wear it on my bike ride or something.
Yeah, the guy in the watch commercial said to do that.
Yeah. What does he know? He didn't even like sports.
Yeah.
He just likes to wake up early.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'll get to it. I just I was trying to. It's been so long since the keynote, and though I had a developer account, I guess you don't even need one anymore. I completely avoided all the betas because I didn't have the interest or mental capacity to deal with any of that nonsense. So this is my first time playing with it. I'm like, oh right, you do the swipe down thing for notifications, which goes back to the home screen, which then you can swipe back up technically, although you can't swipe up from a locked lock screen even if you unlock it, because that would just be silly that there would be continuity there because they wrote this operating system for the iPhone 10, but we don't have iPhone 10s yet, so it's just weird. And then, I heard all this stuff about, oh, you can customize control center, you can customize, like, you can't, there's a lot of stuff you can't take out of control center, which is annoying to me.
I haven't tried that yet. I was trying to figure out how to get into control center because I was like, okay, so that's the dock. And then there's the notifications. They don't need those. And I was like, maybe I swipe to the side. And then I swipe to the side and I got the camera. And I was like, no. Abort. I'm on an iPad.
It's in the same place as it was. Oh, iPad. I don't know. I don't know about iPads.
Yeah. So then I'm dragging up from the bottom in the camera app and it brings up control center. I'm like, well, this is not useful. Like, why did that come up there? But the dock came up in the other spot. Like, I want to just get out of the camera app now. So then I swiped back over to the side, got back to the notification center, then swiped up from the bottom to remove the notification center. Then I could swipe up from the bottom to get the home screen. So I don't know. There's a lot of overlapping gestures I'm going to have to get used to and remember the context that I'm in ways that I didn't have to really think about beforehand.
Yeah, I just like my control center's got you can do personal hotspot quickly there, and I got an Apple TV remote in my control center. That's all I really care about.
I'm interested to see what that's like. But
And I could actually jump straight to my alarm screen because I always hit the button and it takes me to timer or whatever the hell the default is, and then I'm like, no, I wanted an alarm because I set alarms every day. Like, I don't do stopwatches or timers or whatever the hell the default was, which was stupid. But you can get rid of that now.
Question. Can you easily access low power mode now?
Yes, you can add a button for low power mode.
Thank God.
I know
you're
a big fan of low power mode. I don't do that really unless it's dire, but which it's usually dire. I just usually forget to hit the button.
I don't know why you hate it so much. I mean, I don't love it, but
it makes the thing in the bar yellow, and that is aesthetically displeasing to my eyeballs.
Oh man. So what do you think about the red dot on the new Watch 3. Are you getting a Watch 3, Dan?
No, I'm not getting one. But that's mostly just because, I don't know, my Series 0 stainless is still pretty good. I mean, it does the things, and I don't know, I don't do the cellular. I wouldn't do the cellular thing. I mean, the red dot's weird. I thought, you know, when they showed the red dot, I'm like, oh, are they going to have like a variety of dots you can choose from? Is that going to be the black's cool on mine. I mean, maybe you could do like a white and then a red, or I don't know, maybe like a blue or something. Like, why red though? I don't, is it supposed to be like a chronograph? Like you hit the start stopwatch button or whatever, but it's not. It's just red because it's red. It's like, do you need the visual indicator to know that you have an LTE watch? Like, look down at the watch, like, oh God, red dot. Thank you for reminding me that I have an LTE watch. I forgot for a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know, but I also don't care.
I mean, it's a way to visually differentiate the Series 3 from everything else. So when you walk around, you can feel superior when you see people who have a black dot, like me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the I can't think. The cartoon with the schmeeps or whatever, where they had the stars in the bellies and stuff. What the hell were they called?
Sneetches?
Yeah, there you
go. Star-bellied Sneetches?
The star-bellied Sneetches. It's basically that. You know, you got the red dots and you got the black dots.
Well, I was listening to Do By Friday, one of my singular podcasts for the day, and they were talking about how iPhone events are about class warfare now. And by they, I mean Max. But that's a good thing then, Dan.
I mean, a certain portion of owning an iPhone has always been about feeling superior to people who don't have iPhones.
Well, I mean, obviously, otherwise why would anybody buy one? But
who is it? Is it HTC? It's not Samsung. There's one of the cell phones that it was like the first to rip off the 5S, where they basically did the antenna bands and like the stainless edge all around it. I saw one of those in person today and I was taken aback. I just I'm like, wow, I know that design. That's an iPhone design, but slightly uglier and ripped off. I'm like, what? You own that phone? I didn't like say this out loud, but I saw that and I was like, this telegraphs things to me. That's fascinating. I haven't seen this before, but here it is right in front of my face.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I feel like we as nerds entrenched in the day-to-day goings on the internet of like how this whole story has evolved over years. Like, I feel like we have a lot more context for some of these devices than, other people might. Probably even the people who buy them. So you would see this, like I would see this thing and be like, oh, that's the device that ripped off this thing. And he, for all I know, he could be like, what are you talking about? I've never even seen an iPhone 5 before in my life. This is my first smartphone ever or something. But like, you know, it really sort of telegraphs like the time, the place, like how he bought it. Like, you know, I sold at the end of the day today, somebody was asking me about my watch and I described how I use it and how I like it and the Series 3 is out and what it can do. And he's like, oh, that sounds so great. I'm going to go buy one. And the thing that immediately turned him off was the $10 a month for the LTE charge. He's like, oh God, I just got a bad taste in my mouth. Everything about it was perfect up until you said $10 a month. Just like, he's like, what did he say? He said, it's really new. If I go over to Best Buy, am I going to be able to pick one up? I'm like, you buy things at Best Buy? Like, you don't do that, people. Don't go to Best Buy. What are you doing? Just go order it on the internet. Like, he's looking at, and then he typed it into Google or whatever, and he was looking at, like, the Amazon search results for the Series 3. I'm like, just Apple.com, man. Like, what are you doing? Just, like, just go to the site, and you hit the buy button. It's there. People use technology in different ways, Joe. Are you familiar with the way people use technology?
I mean, ways people use it, because there's multiple.
Yeah.
There's a lot of options. So speaking of a lot of options, before we run out of time on this podcast,
go ahead, caller.
Thank you. First time questionnaire. What are you going to be doing about your phone situation this year? How many are you buying for yourself?
Yeah. You know, so here's the thing. I haven't had the time to really like sit down with my wife and go like, here's the 8 that they just came out with and here's the 10 and here's what they do differently and what one has and the other has and the differences in shapes and size and features and things. It's just been one of those things where I went like, yeah, I'm not going to get an 8. I really want a 10, but it's really expensive, so I probably shouldn't do that. And then I got some work, which I really should take this money and save it because like, I it's what you do with money when you're an adult. But then I'm like, well, then I discovered that there's like the third odd financing option where it was just like, it's basically like a loan from Apple where you just pay it off over 24 months. It's not the upgrade program. I'm like, well, that sounds nice. Cause then I can amortize my bad decision and just sort of like not pretend I didn't spend $1,100 on a phone right away, because then I can just pay it off later, because in future Dan's gonna have way more money than present Dan. That's how it works, right?
No.
I'll just push it off on future Dan.
No.
who's gonna have his shit together way more than I do.
No.
And then I'm like, well, But then I don't know if you have to pre-approve that stuff. And you gotta order in the first batch, especially because it's gonna be supply constrained. And then I was talking to my wife about it, and she's like, "Oh, so are you gonna get an X?" I'm like, "What should I do? Should I stay with the 7? Should I get a 10? Should I look at this 8 thing?" I'm like, I can't suggest to her that she keep her 7 while I buy a 10, because like, there's no rationale there. Like, if I'm gonna buy one, it's stupid. I have a 7. Like, there's no rationale. When anybody asks me what I think about the 10, I'm like, "Oh, it's really, I think it's interesting. It's really expensive, and I don't need one, and it's stupid, but I want one really badly. So we'll see what I do." So I will put my dollar on the line right now and guess that on October 27th, I will be putting 2 of them on my credit card is probably what's going to happen. Even though I would really like to do that financing thing if it's doable on like launch day, but I don't think it is because it's for more sensible people than I am. So that's my prediction. My prediction is that I will buy 2 iPhone 10s. My wife will be baffled by it when she tries to use it because it's very strange and different. She hasn't even looked at it. And I will be fascinated with it. I'm still not certain how enjoyable it is going to be to use because it's even bigger than the regular thing that I have now. But yeah, I want one. But I've also been saying like, this is the thing that is totally screwed up about the way I buy things. Like, I desperately want some AirPods, and I've been putting them off because it's like $160 for headphones. Like, I use my regular EarPods every single day, all day, every day, and I know I would use the hell out of AirPods. But it's just like, are they really worth $160? But I am just like, I am already teetering over the line to like, put me down for $1,150 times 2 for phones that I don't need because I have the one from last year, and it's fine. Pretty, it's jet black, I like it, whatever.
Yeah,
I'm a very broken man, Joe. I just like technology.
Yeah, I like to talk about how broken you are.
I used to use the excuse like, you know, because I make a lot of app videos and technology things, like I gotta have the newest thing so I'm you know I can be aware of it or whatever. But there's so much stuff that you can there's so much you can simulate now. And that, like, okay, so here was the thing, like, to save a lot of time, you can actually screen record your phone directly into your Mac, and now you can even do it right on the phone or whatever, which probably lower quality than directly to the Mac. But like, when I had to have app stuff, it's so much more economical to actually record the actions on the phone into the Mac and then cut those up, you know, with masks or whatever you need to do in compositing and put it together that way, rather than rebuild the entire OS from scratch. From graphics is what we used to do. You take screenshots from different places and you cut it together and you actually build the thing and animate it. It's so much easier to do that now. And the different size, when we jumped up to the 6 size, it was totally necessary to have something that I could do that with, because you would put that up on the screen and it would look like an old phone. It would be dumb. But I don't think I'm going to be putting iPhone X-shaped interfaces on screens because it's going to look weird. There's going to be a notch. Everyone's going to be like, what is this thing? Because you do a somewhat abstract version of a phone when you're putting it in a video. So it's still probably going to be something that's shaped like an iPhone 7 in terms of what goes in my video animation. So like, I can't use that as the BS excuse for buying the iPhone 10 that I used to use before. So how do I say it's air quotes for my work? Like, am I going to take a lot of portrait photography with the stupid double lens thing now? No, because it still looks bad. I don't know. I haven't yet figured out what excuse I'm going to use to justify this to myself, other than the fact that it's pretty and I want one, which, you know, depending on how exhausted I am and how much BS like self-care I want to like pretend buying a phone is, that's all I got right now.
Yeah, I mean, you could always you know, like you're saying, if you don't want to have to explain the notch, you could always get the 8, right, Dan?
I don't want an 8. I don't need an 8. It's a very nice looking phone. It's as we discussed offline, it's what the 7 probably was supposed to be, and it's a great phone for lots of people. But I have a 7 and I want a 10 because it's the pretty thing, and it's got the new stuff, and it's got the OLED and the new interaction interface and the dual camera thing in a reasonable sized phone, kind of.
Okay.
I want the stuff. It's got the face. Like, the other thing is, like, I don't know, maybe it's my grubby hands and like how I'm always like touching cameras and things, but Touch ID sucks a lot of the times. Like, I don't want a Touch ID anymore. I just like just scan my tired, exhausted, sad face and let me into my phone.
Oh man. Well, that'll be interesting to see if there's going to be a point where you're like, you're too tired and too exhausted, or if some sort of anomalous thing happens when you're like super happy and it doesn't recognize you. But That'll be interesting. I'm glad you answered that, because I mean, I think there are a lot of people who feel kind of on the same thing of like, hey, I know I'm going to spend this money, but how am I going to rationalize it?
I mean, there are times to work on that. there have been times in my life where I'm like, I don't even need to rationalize this purchase. I'm dumb. I'm a grown ass man. I have a disposable income. I'm going to buy this thing, I want this thing, and it's dumb. And like, roll your eyes at me all you want, people around me. I don't care. I'm going to have a new phone. It's going to be sweet, and I'm going to enjoy it, because like, there is nothing in my life that I get more use out of than my iPhone. Like, it pays for itself over and over and over. That's the not
yeah,
really
it pays
phrase
for
or whatever.
Itself.
But,
like, all but that like, access to Twitter you have.
You know how you buy that like expensive shirt or whatever, and you're like, ooh, I'm going to wear this all the time, and you never wear it, and you feel bad about it when you see it. Like,
yeah.
No, I don't feel bad about how much I spend on my iPhone, because I use it all day, every day, to the point where like the battery does not even make it till like 4 or 5 p.m. for a lot of the days, just because I use it way too much for everything, all the time, and it's great, and I love it. So having the best one is very, very important to me, and I enjoy it, so I don't even have to justify it. But like, you know, there are times... There are times in a grown person's life where, you know, they may not have all the disposable income they want. And, you know, for me right now, I should probably not spend all the money I earn, even though working like 3 jobs at once, I'm like, oh, look at all this extra money. It's not extra money. I'm just making up for time where I didn't have any work because I'm stupid and I'm freelance or whatever, self-independent, unemployed. So it's that whole thing. Like, I should be an adult, but I'm probably not going to be an adult because I like phones.
Yeah. Yeah. Well...
Who wants to be a grown-up when there's phones and toys and things, Joe?
This is a very good point you raised. I have a 6, so I feel much in the same way when I went from my iPhone 4 to my iPhone 6. I feel it's okay when I go from the iPhone 6 to something else. And iPhone 8 seems less exciting than the brand spanking new thing that's all wacky. Even though, you know, I don't know if I like it or not or whatever, but I even had that conversation with Jason when we got back from Europe, and we're sitting on the couch just sort of recuperating from our experience with customs and like LAX and everything. We're both sitting very quietly on the couch just scrolling through things, and then Jason's like, oh, did you see the new phone? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, which one are you gonna get? And I said, I don't know yet. The 10 just seems so expensive. And he goes, oh, really? I wanted the 10. And I'm like, but why?
Did
like,
he look at the price, though?
Yeah, he was sitting on the couch for like 10 minutes. And all of a sudden, he'd like come to the conclusion that he was immediately going to buy that one. And so I was just like, oh, well, now I kind of also have to have it, because I can't get the 8 and then he has the 10. Because
No,
that's not going to work. I mean, both have to have a 10.
Here's the problem, though. Like, I've always been like a middle tier jerk, like whatever. They quote the base price, add $100 to it, and then obviously you forget about the $50 tax or whatever. So like, I always end up like footing like $840 or whatever the hell it is for a phone. And like, by the time it's tallied that up and I've forgotten about all those things, and it's like, oh God, all right, I'm going to buy this. Oh, I got to buy two because I got to get one for my wife too. Like, so like, I'm looking at this $850. I'm like, I feel a little bit bad about this, but I'm doing it anyway. I'm really excited. But now it's $1,150 for the reasonable sized version of this phone.
Yeah.
Like that is stupid expensive.
You hit on a thing that I also complained about with Micah on Unhelpful Suggestions, and he feels the same way, is that the middle tier, the middle storage tier, was the Goldilocks tier. That was the one that was just right. That's the one that you'd always want to get, because the lowest tier never had enough storage and the highest tier was always crazy. So the middle tier would be just right. And the middle tier used to be 64, which is the iPhone 6 that I have. But that is no longer middle tier quality. Middle tier is now 128. But they got rid of that. So now you just have 64 to 256. And I can't have another 64 phone unless I start making some really hard decisions about my life. So that pushes me up into 256, which makes me sad. I don't know why. Here's the thing, though.
Like, if you're going to be a dummy and splurge on this phone and spend way too much money and buy a thing that you probably don't really need to buy, you don't want to have to make hard decisions and compromises about your life.
No, but this also might push me into doing the upgrade program, because I'm not convinced that I need to hold on to it, and I don't have a business where I might need prop phones or older phones to do interfaces or anything. So, there's like zero justification for that. I have an iPhone 4 sitting in a drawer, and I have this one, which might wind up sitting in a drawer. But my original iPhone 3G, my sister lost. But that's I don't know if I need to make a museum. I understand the impulse
put
to do
it,
that.
Put it in a room in your apartment, connected to a speaker, and then just use it as a HomePod makeshift thing that you can yell "Hey Dingus" at, and then it does stuff.
Oh, you are assuming I want it to do anything.
Yeah, no, Siri is the worst still. Yeah. But
it's everywhere, and it's so easy to turn on and activate, so and it's so smart how it doesn't misunderstand you. And
aren't you supposed to be able to type to it now? How do you type to it?
I don't remember.
I haven't figured that out in the 11 thing. But anyway, like, you know, that's a justification right there that you can use, like, oh, God, I have to buy a new phone because I'm out of storage space. And, like, the difference between the 256.8 and the 256.10 is really marginal. Well, just, you know, 256.8 and 64.10 is marginal. And then if you're going to go to the 10, you got to get the one that fits. So there's some hoops you can jump through there to make the reasoning work.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a whole thing where it's just like, darn your price psychology. I don't care for it. But you know, the reality is I'll probably get it. And then the last and final thing is I think I'm going to get the 4K Apple TV. I didn't pre-order it because they never run out of stock of these things. I learned last year
Is that the one that you pre-ordered and then it went to the wrong place, or you bought the other one and then it got stolen?
Yeah,
and
and I meant 2 years ago, by the way, because it was refreshed last time in 2015. I had pre-ordered that one because I was all excited about it, and it was supposed to be delivered to my apartment, and it was with OnTrack, and we went through this whole thing where they said they delivered it, and then I couldn't find it, and I was like, well, where did you guys put it? And then they wouldn't tell me, and they told me I had to contact Apple retail customer service for any inquiries. And I was like, hey, Apple, I just want to know where they put it. Like, I can't find the thing, so I just want to make sure it's not like behind a bush somewhere. Sometimes people get the my unit number confused with the next door apartment building's unit numbers. So I was like, you know, if that's the case, then I'll contact the landlord or whatever. But Apple's like, yeah, usually with OnTrack, we can't do any of that stuff, so we're going to send you another one. We've been having a lot of problems with them. And so that year, I got one in the mail. But because I didn't want to wait, I just bought one, and I was like, oh, I'll return the other one. And then I didn't. So then I had two. But that one made a very good Christmas gift. The fourth generation Apple TV... I just want to get the next one, and then I want to have an excuse to buy an expensive TV. So I'm going to have a very expensive time with this whole thing. It'd be a lot easier if I had splurged on an HDR UHD TV earlier at some point, because they don't seem to have come down tremendously in price in the past year. But you never know.
So you're using as poor a logic to purchase these devices as I am with my phone. You're going to purchase the 4K Apple TV first, so then you have a reason to buy the 4K TV.
Dan, it's even worse than your logic. Do you know why?
Is it for your blog?
It's for my blog. My blog that makes no money. it's for my business.
You at least, do you like write off some taxes for it or something?
There are no there's no income, so how can there be taxes?
Well, you could have expenses. You don't have to have a successful business to still have a business.
This is the $5 a month I spend on my web server. What?
I learned that lesson long ago. You can lose money, and it's still a business, technically.
Yeah, that's what George Lucas did with ILM.
Startup industry about it. So you're going to purchase a 4K Apple TV for...
Yeah, I mean, and look on the bright side. The way that I can justify not purchasing, not spending money on other things is that I'm not buying an Apple Watch. So that's money I'm saving right there. Just
exactly.
Total savings. Put that right in your pocket. I don't know.
What are you looking forward to about this device? Just being able to watch things in 4K?
HDR more than 4K, really, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, so, you know, that's one thing that people don't really talk about with HDR compared to all of these other features. HDR is not one of those things that's like, well, how far away is your couch from your TV? Yeah, it doesn't matter anyway. HDR, you'll still be able to see if your couch is further away from your TV than it should be.
Yep, it's all brightness and color and beautifulness.
You mentioned this on Unhelpful Suggestions. You know how much you're going to have to spend on a TV that actually has quality HDR display, right?
Yes. I might chicken out.
You might as well buy a car.
Yeah. I also need to buy one of those, too, because mine is dying. I spent like $800 on fixing a bunch of stuff before I went to Europe because it had basically died. And then I was like, you know, I just need to make it sure it lasts a little bit longer, and then I'll buy the new car that I want to buy. And then I still haven't done that yet, but I'm contemplating spending all this money on a freaking phone and an Apple TV. But I gotta, you know, I'll reason through several things and I'll figure it out.
How often do you even watch the Apple TV?
I watch it enough, Dan. It's none of your business.
Dude, all right. Well, when you buy your dumb 4K Apple TV, if you're going to sell your non 4K glass Siri remote one, let me know, because maybe I'll buy it off you.
Oh, well, I might just. Jason has a third gen Apple TV.
What happened to the two? Oh, it was two.
Well, I did, but then that was a Christmas gift to someone else.
Oh, I thought you gave it to Jason.
No, I didn't. Why would I do that?
I don't know, because you're the reason he has the other Apple TV at his place.
Well, no, I talked him into buying that one, so he bought that one. Remember
well,
when
still the reason for it?
Yeah, remember when the third gen came out and they dropped the price to $99? I was like, oh man, this is perfect. No, it was $99 first, then they dropped it even more.
Oh right, yeah, okay, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. That's.
Not that they're in danger of reaching those price points again anytime soon, but I was like, oh yeah, this is great, I want to buy one. And he's like, oh really, do you think I should get one? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And then he got one, and then I replaced mine with a fourth gen, and then he's like, I don't like it, the Tastemade app is weird, and so he doesn't want to buy one, and he didn't get that generation of Apple TV.
So stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going long, but
was going to wrap it up.
Yeah, I know.
Second,
I got like two things.
Okay.
The one thing that I guess, I don't know, it's probably been sort of discussed in a roundabout way about the new Apple TV is like the only way they've ever sort of been able to justify their costs is because, you know, it's the device experience, right? Like that's why we like our phones. They're high quality devices. They're very pretty. They, you know, it's got iOS on it. It doesn't have some garbage Android thing. But more and more, these things are just becoming, you know, dumb hidden boxes that we shout at, and then content comes up. Like, so the user interface portion of it is very minimally important. It is almost completely unimportant.
Yeah,
to the point that like the only reason to buy an Apple TV anymore is if you have a giant iTunes library, and you know, if they're looking into the future, they're going to see the future where movies and TVs are just like music, where we just subscribe to a thing that streams stuff to us. So like we don't need that like backbone hardwired link back into their like DRM'd content. So like just make a thing that I can shout at that goes and gets content from the internet. Like why are you still focused on this like Apple centric idea of like. The idea of the we build the best experience, like that's not important anymore.
Well, I'll disagree. I'll say the experience is important, but they have a weird thing that they're doing where they're very focused on gaming, being some sort of justification for the premium price they want to charge, and that goes for both the fourth generation and the new 4K that they're offering. Where I am not confident that is a direction they should continue reinforcing. That
do you really think they're focused on that, or do you think that's just like a reverse justification because they're like, well, we've got an app store. What does that get us? Games, cool games.
That's a justification for the price they want to charge. It's not they're not putting in effort into making that successful. Like they're not buying like exclusive content, etc. Except for that one thing they demoed, that game company's game. Where it's at the, you know, flying dudes.
I thought they said there was, they just said it verbally, there was another exclusive thing coming to it. But like, again, who cares?
Yeah, but that's nothing compared to the exclusive libraries of content that Xbox or PlayStation or Nintendo generate for themselves. The deals they cut to do that stuff, to bring things to the platforms. Apple's not doing any of that. Apple doesn't care about games. But they do want to charge a lot of money for hardware, and they know they can do that because, hey, this chip can play game stuff on your phone, people like that. And it's like, you know, my living room is not a dentist waiting room. Like, I don't want to play solitaire on a big screen TV. That's not an experience I need to have. So they haven't figured that out still yet. And I'm not sure they ever will. But they want to charge money for the box of stuff.
I know they want to charge money, but it's an Apple TV. It's not like they called it Apple Game Center or some crap. Like, it should be a TV thing. And like, the point of TV is to get me to the crap that I want to see quickly and easily. And more and more these days, it's just like, I'm going to yell a thing at my remote. It's going to pop up. It's either going to be the first or second result, and I'm going to click on that. And that's it. Like, this idea that you can charge three times as much because your interface is pretty and there's holographic whatever, there's shaders on your stupid tiles, like, that's nonsense. Like, you need to come back to reality a little bit on this hobby that you have here, because it's just dumb. Like, you're going in the wrong direction. You are literally skating to where the puck has been with this product.
Yeah, which is why the most exciting thing that they announced about the new TV was the content deals, because the hardware and software is a snooze, and it continues to be. And even though they're excited about live sports, you know, there are a lot of caveats to that. And they're excited about content deals that they've made for when he talked about, oh, Netflix is bringing all their 4K HDR content. Well, it's still not in the ridiculous TV, the app. And so it's walled out outside of that thing. And so you've got all this other weird cruft with single sign-on and what services will and won't use it. And that one time Jason came over to my place and we're like, oh, would you just sign in with your DirecTV account? And he did that and it worked fine for the sign-in. But then anytime you tried to look at something in an app, it said, oh, you can't do this. Your provider doesn't allow it. And it's like, well, what do you mean your provider doesn't allow it? And apparently it's something restricted to the fact that I'm at my Wi-Fi address instead of his Wi-Fi address, even though it wasn't like he was watching TV at home at the time. So the thing is ridiculous. And even uninstalling the single sign-on thing was a pain in the butt. Because you gotta disable the single sign-on, and you gotta delete any apps you downloaded to try it out, and then anything that authenticated to TV the app, sometimes it'll like leave lingering things in there, and so they have a lot of stuff that they just it's not that great. And I stand by my statement that anybody who's really considering just getting something streaming for like Netflix or whatever, and that sort of thing in North America should get Fire TV stick with the voice remote, because it's $40, sometimes $30. And
I have a question about this thing, because I have mine and I still enjoy using it for exactly this purpose. But I don't know if it's on my Wi-Fi thing or whatever, but lately I've been yelling a thing at it. It will hear me perfectly. It will show the search results screen with what I said, and then there will be nothing below, like no tiles will load. So it's just like it just sits there. And then I can menu back out of it and have it search again, but just the search results don't appear. So one time I rebooted and it came back, and then it just happened again. And I'm just like, well, you know, this is just a Netflix thing. So I'm going to the Apple TV because I can find it.
I haven't seen that happen.
Yeah. It hears me. It knows what I'm saying. It just doesn't show me results.
I mean, sometimes I'll have a delay where if I'm just booted it up and I'll hold down on the button to activate the thingy. And then it might pop up with the, you know, the gray box, but the little waveform thingy might not be wiggling, so then I gotta repeat what I said, and then sometimes it counts what I said twice. So that hasn't been fluid all the time. It's usually just when it boots up, but I haven't had anything where it didn't load any of the search results. It always loads those.
Final question for the show. Oh, sorry. Unless you had something else.
Oh, I was gonna say one thing that's cool though is that I don't need to deal with the first boot up query though, because I have an Echo Dot. So now that they added the thing where I can yell at it to play something on my TV, it turns on my TV, sets it to the input for the Fire TV, and loads the video content immediately. So when
this,
we had to watch,
this is exactly what I'm saying. Like, the future of this is just going to be shout at anything anywhere in the room, and it'll turn all your crap on and play the movie, because that's what you wanted to do. Like, we don't need an Apple TV for that. Go ahead.
Well, an Apple TV can't do that. So I just say into the ether. I say, you know, device trigger word name, play Matrix Revolutions on the Fire TV, because that's what I needed to do, and it did that. And it didn't ask me if I wanted to watch it on Netflix or if I wanted to rent it. It knew that I had Netflix, and it just fired it up. and then started playing from where I had already started playing on my phone earlier, and just continued from there, from that time point. So I didn't even need to do something weird, where sometimes it kicks you to Netflix and you have to do that little dance of like, oh yeah, it's me, my profile, and oh yeah, I need to do this, and you gotta like dump you back into the main home screen interface, that annoying thing.
Is this the full TV or the stick still?
Stick still.
What interface is turning the TV on?
The stick.
The stick has control over the TV?
When you push a button on the, if you push the, like, the home button or the Alexa button on the, oh, I said the thingy. When you push that on the remote, it triggers, the device to start up. And then it switches to that input, assuming you have HDMI, CEC.
I'm sure my TV's too old for that, but I didn't realize the stick had the juice to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Mine just can't turn off the TV. I haven't figured out that one yet. But it's a minor shortcoming. That's interesting. And then they have the new, I don't know if you saw, but the there's a new version of a streaming stick that's not really a stick. It's one of those little dangly things, like the newer Chromecast design, where there's like a blob that dangles Bucks off thing. The back. And the reason for that is because there are a lot of inconvenient places when sticks start to get of a certain size and you can't exactly fit them in things without them sticking into other parts of the TV.
Stick that size.
Yeah. Oh. Mm. So that is one of the things. And then there's another one where it's basically like they just fused an Echo Dot and a Fire TV box into one thing. And so it's going to have the little voice activated multi-directional microphone thingy on the top on the box itself, and so you're not going to be addressing any other third-party thing, and so you can just tell it to do the same stuff, which is the logical extension of this process where they keep adding these things. So then if you get that one, you are going to have, you know, your UHD 4K HDR stuff that you can just yell at the TV without touching anything in your apartment. Kind of like what I am doing right now, only, you know, less good.
And then the only thing you need to do is, like, when you tell it to do that, you need to tell it to, like, dim certain lights and put on your cinema mood lighting. But that's all doable with HomeKit garbage, I assume.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's or other third-party solutions that are available for your Alexa. F it. I said the thing again. Sorry,
it's,
everyone.
It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, well, the one thing I've noticed is that they seem to have set it. They seem to have modified the trigger word now. So if you're saying something in the middle of a sentence, it's less likely to trigger than if you're saying it as the first word of a sentence, then it triggers more often. So if I were to just use a sentence where I say Alexa and right in the middle of the sentence, then it doesn't actually turn on. Haha, the little blue thing didn't turn on that time. But if you say it at the start of a sentence, then it seems to trigger.
Sometimes you just want to sing Downeaster Alexa to yourself when you're home alone and you don't want your thing to react.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not familiar with that song. We should wrap this up.
Ask your thing to play it. All right, so last question. If you buy a 10, what color? Silver, white, or space gray, gray?
Space gray, gray.
Incorrect.
Oh.
the shiny stainless steel around the edge of that thing just looks too nice in that nice shiny color. And the pictures don't do the white or the space gray justice, but I suspect the white and stainless one is going to look much nicer in person than the space gray one.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on what case I want to put it in.
Ew. I don't put phones in cases.
All right, sure. Drop your glass phone.
I've dropped all my phones. I never broke one yet.
Yeah, I mean, I dropped mine too, but I feel like a large reason why they don't shatter on the concrete floor of the parking garage in Culver City where the Trader Joe's is because it even though it fell butter side down, there's the little rubber lip on the case.
It's placebo, man. Mm-hmm. It just makes you think it's going to be okay to drop, and if you don't have anything on it, you're going to think it's not okay to drop, so you're not going to drop it.
Okay, sure. This is why I buy expensive sunglasses, because then I won't lose the expensive sunglasses, exactly. But I would always use the cheap ones.
Use reverse psychology, don't use placebo cases.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, this has been a fun hour, 20 minutes of nonsense.
Yeah, it was supposed to be an hour. Bye.
Bye, everyone.